I'm not an X's and O's guy, right? I'm not a tactician. I'm a motivator in the classic sense of the word. You know, Lombardi, Charles Lindbergh, that nun over in India, like those people.
It's the future, future, future.
Woo! What's going on, everybody? Jared Payton here. Hasta luego. Arrivederci.
You leaving already?
Hola.
There you go.
¿Cómo estás? Muy bien, gracias. Hoping you're having a great day, a great evening, whenever you're listening to this podcast. Jared Payton alongside my man Ernie Skatton. Shy Voice Man on Twitter. I'm at Payton Sun, PaytonSun, WGNRadio.com. Exclusively here. This is how we do it. Down the distance, DAD Pod on Twitter as well. Welcome in. It's time to talk some baseball. It's funny that we got football around the corner. Baseball still hot topic here in Chicago, and rightfully so, when you got the Cubs making a nice push coming out of the second half, winning five straight. But then you have on the South side as well, you have a team that is building for the future. And Ernie, it's amazing, right, that you could see something for so long. And I'm going to tell you about two things that you don't really know if they're true or not, or you don't know if something's going to happen or not. But that's how you kind of base your decision on maybe jumping into something. And one thing is that when you look at a team that was scared about rebuilding and they were talking about, you know, just adding on pieces to kind of, you know, stay afloat because they were worried about attendance and people showing up to the ballpark and all this other stuff. If you look at the attendance from when they started from the beginning of the year till now, they're ahead of schedule. They're above the mark where I think there was 20-some thousand that were at the park the other day. Where you think about it, right? Where you would think, let's not blow this thing up on the South side because we don't want people not to come to the park. Well, guess what? People are actually coming now.
They are because they believe in what's being put out on – you got guys that are actually playing hard. For the first time, it's like guys are fighting for positions. And there's it's up for grabs. Position's wide open.
They are fighting for their future.
Fighting for their lives.
Because right now, the future is right now. And last night, I was about to go to bed. I was watching the Cubs game. And I was just on my computer going through stuff. And then next thing you know, I hit on Twitter. And I see that the White Sox made another trade. And I just was like, what's going on? Todd Frazier, closer David Robertson, and reliever Tommy Kahnle all were traded to the Yankees in exchange for some highly touted minor leaguers. And you have, I think the guy that's on the front end of all that and everybody's talking about is Blake Rutherford. I think he comes in at 30th ranked prospect in all of baseball by MLB.com. So now we're adding to a farm system that went from being worse to arguably the first when you talk about talent that is in the farm system. And I'm a Cubs fan. Ernie, you're rocking your Sox hat right now. I'm going to tell you this. Rick Hahn continues to show that over the last 14 months, even if the White Sox, how bad they could be, like how bad they actually could end the season, Executive of the Year?
I've already said it. It's got to be Executive of the Year. I know he won't win it because the team stinks.
But forget all that.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Forget it. Look what he's done. He's like, in 1 year, he's taken that team, not even in 1 year, from one, two, three, four, five guys, six guys. With six guys, he has completely reshaped this whole organization for years to come. For years to come. Now, I have one problem. I have one thing, though.
What's your issue?
Why is it that we always go and get these great minor leaguers from teams like the Yankees and teams like Boston, who finished with good records, so they're not drafting near the top. They have good organizational, they have good scouts. Why don't we have any of these scouts? Why can't we find these guys? Like, we're always trading for them. You know what I mean? We traded for all of our top talent in our organization. Why can't our guys find this top talent?
Well, I get what you're saying. I still want to kind of look at it in this hindsight that you got to get the talent, whether you're drafting or you're going out there and you're trading
for it. But it's like you're always getting the talent from the Red Sox or the Yankees.
Yeah, but I mean, how many times though, Ernie? I mean, let's not get blindsided by what happened on the North side, man. in actuality, it doesn't normally happen that way.
Oh,
where everybody just starts hitting, and all these guys that come up, they stay up because they're just they're ready. You don't know if it's going to happen, and you have to wait and see how things play out. And I think that's kind of the fun part about being a Southside fan is that now you get a chance to, like, there's no expectations right now.
There's no expectations, so you can just
sit and watch and not be like, oh man, we got to get this wild card.
You can sit and watch now, knowing that in the near future, you could very well have the best team in baseball. You've never sat there and looked at the White Sox and said, you know what? We could have the best team in baseball. You could say that now. There's a chance in the next 5 years that the White Sox could very well have the best team in baseball.
True. It's true.
God, it makes my heart thump. I'm so happy.
You should be happy.
It's a great job. They decided to do something, and they went and they did it, and I believe they've completed it, and they've done much better than they could have ever hoped. I don't think there's anyone else to trade. There's nothing left to do.
Man,
I think you've got them.
You still could.
All right, so you can get rid of maybe another one of the relievers. But at that point, what are you scraping around? You're just getting rid of some money. Jose's not going anywhere.
I'm not talking about Jose.
Who are you talking about?
Melky?
Yeah, but for whatever reason. See, you made me forget about it. Like, no one's talking about Melky.
Well,
and I don't know why he's having the best month of the year.
But listen. The conversations are coming up a little bit more now because it all started with Quintana and him going, and then the dominoes started to fall. But, right. Yeah, I don't see them doing that, but I don't know what Rick Hahn's thinking in his brain. I mean, he's trying. Dude, all you need to do, if you're going to be bad, why not just go and try to get as much talent as possible
so that you have better odds
of hitting on all these prospects?
I think you have to now because Melky will not be around if and when you win. He won't be here in 5 years.
So that's what I'm saying.
I love Melky. I think
I do too.
I believe he's become one of my favorite Sox players of all time. The milkman.
I love him.
But he won't be here when you win. So what you should do to help him out as well as your team is let him go somewhere, trade him somewhere so that he can win in the twilights of his career.
Guess what? Guess what? Football? Guess what, Sox fans?
Football's coming.
Guess what, Sox fans? Yeah. Yeah. So you've seen some trades, right? Yeah, everybody's talking about those trades. You got a chance to, you know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, Jose Quintana had to go over to the blue, Q and blue. Don't be upset.
Works for everyone.
It works for everybody. You start to see, you know, this Todd Frazier and David Robertson and Tommy Canley trade and you get some more pieces back. But guess what? Today, the future is here on the South Side. Yoan Moncada is coming up.
Got to go get my jersey.
And guess what, people? Be excited, man. It's like perfect timing. And I'll tell you what, for Rick Hahn last night to talk about this trade and then also talk about Yoan Moncada coming up, I mean, that's been the question, a million-dollar question, is when we're going to start seeing some of these young guys start coming up. And I knew that Yoan Moncada was going to be the first guy to be able to make his way up. And now you get a chance for the next couple of weeks to be able to see how he's improved. Because in, you know, the minors, he's been up and down. Yeah.
He was down, then he got real hot, then he got injured, and it took him a while to get back into it after the injury. I believe it was his finger. After the injury, it took him a little bit while, but he had just started getting back up. And
he's hitting 282, 12 home runs, 36 RBIs, and 17 stolen bases in 361 plate appearances in AAA Charlotte. So, I mean, pretty good. Yeah, he's had his ups and downs. He started off real hot, but you already know that that's going to cool off
right as
things go on. But you love to see kind of him being able to turn it back around. But he also made the team's minor league player of the month in April and also was in the futures game at the All-Star game. So these are things that when you start to pack it on, this is a fun time to be on the South Side and to be a White Sox fan. And I think White Sox fans should really enjoy this and not put so much pressure right now, because I think the pressure is going to come when Ernie's talking about, and then he said 5 years. Well, I'm talking about maybe in 3 years really starts to maybe start boiling a little bit. But for right now, just enjoy. Like, just enjoy sitting around watching baseball and watching guys develop. It's the process. You know, in this city, though, just to switch it up a little bit, Ernie, the process in this city has changed because the Cubs have changed the narrative on making it cool to, like, strip it down and rebuild. And now everybody is feeling okay and I think a little bit more at ease with actually doing that.
It's the end thing.
Yeah, it's like the end thing in this city. But it all depends on the people that are behind the scenes in the front office making decisions if they have, you know, what it takes to be able to build it back up. Some might not be carpenters, man. Serious. Ern, I'm just being real with you. They might not be. I'm not going to name any names, but you know who I'm talking about. They just might not be carpenters. It just might not work.
We need a carpenter. I like carpenters.
I mean, shoot, they might just be interior decorators. Once the house is built, they could just come in and put a vase, however you say it.
You said it right, vase.
Vase.
You have the vase.
Yeah, let me get that vase right there, you know, with a nice throw rug.
There's no vase.
There's no vase. Okay. I'm just saying.
It has to be a Persian. The throw rug must be Persian.
All right, next up. So one of the hot topics this week has been the comments that Michael Vick made about Colin Kaepernick on FS1. And a lot of people on Twitter going back and forth. And I think that's why I love social media the most, is because you can kind of get both sides of what people are thinking. And if you never heard what Vic had to say, take a listen.
Hey, the first thing we got to get Colin to do is cut his hair. You know, I mean, listen, I'm not up here to try to be politically correct, but, you know, even if he puts cornrows in it, I don't think he should represent himself, you know, in that way in terms of, you know, just the hairstyle. Just go clean cut. You know, why not? You know, you're already dealing with a lot of controversy surrounding this issue.
All right, so Michael Vick, I heard his comments. I'm going to say this about what he said. I know what he was trying to say. He just didn't say it the right way. And it's hard to be able to do that with the position that he's in and say it and have other people on the outside looking in not go, is this dude serious?
Anything he says, he's going to sound hypocritical.
Yeah, I mean,
anything he says.
No, but this whole interview was like that, though. We're talking about a dude that was embodied the whole culture.
Yeah, I mean,
this dude had the cornrows.
I saw Vic growing up. I lived in Virginia. I saw Vic, like.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, Ernie, I get it, right? But, okay, we want to go back and not. We have to bring up his past. We have to, because that's a part of him. Like, we can't not look at his past and look at it and just push it aside. No, like, this man went to jail for dogfighting, right?
Which I will say, listen, I lived there. I lived in Newport News, Virginia. That is a religion.
I know
that
it is.
That is like Sunday football.
I know it
You could walk down, I guarantee, at least when I was there back in the 80s, 90s, you would walk down a street and you would hear dogfighting. You'd go two streets over, there'd be another garage. It was everywhere.
I know. And so it's something that he grew up in, but that's a part of his past that's with him. And so for him to sit up there
and to
tell Colin Kaepernick to cut his hair so he can be more presentable. I can't get behind that. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, but in some ways, Ernie, it almost defeats everything. And you know what? This is what gets me upset. This is what gets me upset is that we're still, as a society, we're not talking about the real issue here. We're not talking about the real issue. Like, we keep going around all these other angles to, like, get to something else, and we're not talking about the real issue and why this man did it. And if we still look at the news, that this is still an issue and it's still a problem. Everybody wanted to tell Colin Kaepernick to be able to go out there and put his money where his mouth is, and when he said he was going to do this. And if you look at his rap sheet and you go look at what's going on, he's done a lot of that. This dude is giving back. He's using his name to go out and using his own money to go out there and help other people and get people more aware of what's going on in the culture, in society. So I tip my hat to him. But to cut his hair so he can get a job back in the NFL, honestly, when it comes down to it, you want to keep it 100, you want to keep it real. Ernie, you look at his play over the last few seasons, that's the reason why he doesn't have a job. I mean, let's be real. I think some of the stuff that we're talking about with, you know, the protest, that has to do with it. It's factored in there, but I don't know if that's the big thing because Michael Vick went to jail. Listen, he went to jail. He was a convicted felon, and he came out and got one of the biggest deals.
Well, that supports my blackball theory. Like, there's no good reason why he's not a backup on a team.
Well, I get that. I'm not saying that he's
better
not
than Blair or whatever, who's his name. Like, he's better.
Blaine Gabbert?
Yeah. Let's stick with Blair. He's better than Blair Gabbert. I mean, he is. It's definitely blackball. I don't know. How do you accomplish that in the NFL? Do owners call each other and say, you know what?
Everybody's got a voice, and everybody's got a connection, man.
How does that happen? How does one guy get blackballed?
I just feel like it's so hard. But it's the same thing about the conversation, man. You have these conversations with people all the time. You coach girls softball, and so you could tell you. I'm not getting into any stories, but if somebody comes to you and says something to you or says something to somebody else, it goes to another parent. That parent tells somebody else, and it just becomes like this big circle. In the NFL, they're all circle. It doesn't have to be owners. It could be somebody within the organization. Like, what are you guys doing? All those guys, the media guys, all those guys talk to one another. Yeah, we're really not going to touch them.
So like, do you think it's more owners or players that are blackballing him?
No, I really think the players, I would say.
There's got to be players upset with him.
Yeah, probably some players that are upset with him, but I would say 95% of the players
either don't care. Right, just don't care.
They don't care.
Like, that did yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, he did what he did for his purpose and what he did. And guess what? It got people talking. I don't think it got people talking long enough.
Nah, you knew it wouldn't.
No,
I mean, you knew it wouldn't.
I knew it wouldn't because in the...
Well, that's a shame that he now pays for something that didn't...
But he knew that.
Yeah,
I think he had to have known that like this was...
Much respect to him. I mean, he stood up or knelt down for what he believed in.
Right.
I mean, you have to give somebody credit for that, whether you believe it or not, whether you understand it or not.
Exactly. So, Ernie, that's what I'm talking about. I wish people could have that same mindset as you. Like, it might not be something that you would do or how you would handle it.
Right.
But if you're not...
But walking, living in this country, you have the ability to do to express yourself the way that you
exactly.
want to express yourself.
Like, you don't...
And
I'm
for
not
now, somebody
in your
to
shoes.
Affect for that to affect how he makes his money, how he puts food on the table, I think is wrong, so wrong. That being said, maybe the NFL's not for him anymore. Maybe he needs to walk away and make a statement about it. Maybe he needs to go Jim Brown on him. Yeah. I mean,
maybe he wants to. I mean, there's minimal opportunities to be able to keep playing, but I mean, there is another league. It's north of us that if you really want to play football and show what you can do,
he'd kill that league.
Then go there and play. If you really want to be a quarterback, I mean, right now the season's already started, but still.
You like that league up there, don't you?
Oh, dude, CFL is unreal, man. I love it to death. I sit and watch it even right now. Like I got it recorded on my TV. it don't matter. I watch football anywhere. I watch peewee football. I watch indoor football. I watch.
They should get rid of tackle football until the age of 15 or 16. It should be all flag. There's no reason for kids to tackle at such a young age. You could teach them how to tackle on dummies in practices,
yeah,
and then they play flag on Sundays until they're about, I don't know, maybe until varsity high school or something like that.
Oh, I don't know, man. Ern, I don't know. Oh, we gotta talk about this. You have to clean this up or make it sound. I know you will.
Okay. I like the segue into we got to talk about this. That's not bad, but what do we got to talk about?
We got to talk about this. We're coming down to training camps almost here. We got to talk about this.
Training camp is
almost here. Winter's here. Game of Thrones. Sorry. Threw you off. Not a Game of Thrones guy.
Actually, I have promised Julie Stern that I will watch the Game of Thrones. I've never watched an episode of GOT. She plays a fantasy game, and she got me so into like listening to her, so excited about her fantasy draft, and then how the first week she picked all women, and the one woman went nuts and killed like 30 unnamed people, so she got all these one like, and I was like, oh, and I love medieval stuff, so I love King Arthur, I love that type of thing, so I have promised that I will actually watch a Game of Thrones. But what I want to do is I'm going to wait till after the softball season, and I'm going to binge it. I'll binge like season one in a week, and then you know, I'll let you know.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man. I'm gonna be honest with you. I love it to death, but football.
What do you love about it? Is it the nudity? Is it the violence? No, is it the I got guys who just love the fact that they get to sit there and watch violence and medieval nudity.
It's just the way that it's written and how you kind of get entrenched in all of these characters and all the houses and how.
Do you know
Stark
how it must have smelled back then?
Oh, I don't even want to think about it.
Imagine the stench. Just the absolute funk that would pervade every it would coat to you. It would just cling to your body.
I don't want to talk about it. I really don't. It just sounds disgusting.
Yeah, like coming back after battle, having bathed for like a month. You've been on the back of a horse
riding
across Norway or something.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, you're going to love it. Like
I really do think I am. I'm also the type of person, though, I hate loving something because everyone else does. Like, I got to get it onto my own. I got to love it on my own. So I think now that I like Breaking Bad. It took me like 5 years to watch Breaking Bad. You know, it took me for The Wire. It took me 4 or 5 years to watch The Wire. Now I'm like, yeah, Breaking Bad, yeah, The Wire. So I will be about GOT, I'm sure. I'm never watching The
Walking Dead?
Never.
No. That's
not ever happening in life.
You better not. I might
Zombies
unfollow you on Twitter if you watch that.
Ever.
If I ever see a tweet from you watching Walking Dead,
never.
It's over.
Ever.
That's it, everybody, this week for Down and Distance, DAD Pod on Twitter. Ernie Scat and Shot Voice Man at Peyton Sun, PAYTON-SUN. We'll be back next week. You know what time it is. Bourbon A! Look forward to it, baby. I will
Are
be
you ready
there.
For some football?
As always, we were here, but now we're gone.
Peace.